yet another edition of Natsukashi. My name is Rob Rector. In this particular website project, we try to shine a light in the closet of childhood memories, and we rediscover films that for some reason have remained in our subconscious for many years. This particular episode, we are going to look at a 1952, I believe. Am I correct in that? 52?
59.
1959 film starring a young Steve Reeves. And with me on the line, I have
Marilyn Ferdinand.
Marilyn Ferdinand, who is the proprietor of the Ferdy on Films, etc. website, where it specializes in off-road films. And if you have the opportunity, please click on the link to Ferdy on Films, where she features in-depth cinematic analyses and astute, thoughtful, and sometimes politically charged musings as well. Marilyn has been a professional writer for more than 30 years, Chicago-based freelance writer, and she also is a contributing writer to the Beachwood Reporter.
That's correct. That's a Chicago-centric daily web newspaper.
Which we will provide a link to as well on the site, so you can take a look at that for yourself. Well, first, Marilyn, thank you very much for contributing. Would you like to introduce this film?
Okay. This film is called The Giant of Marathon. It is a sword and sandal film, typical of the type that were made in Italy during the 50s and 60s. It was, strangely, directed by Jacques Tourneur, who many people may know from the Val Lewton films that he made, the wonderful Val Lewton films. And it was also co-directed, uncredited, by Mario Bava, who also contributed special effects. The star of the film is Steve Reeves, who was a Mr. Universe and spent most of his career in acting, making these spaghetti sword and sandal, if you will. This was a film that I saw probably in the 1960s on television. I was quite young when this first premiered in films, so I'm sure I didn't see it in the theater, but they did show them on television quite frequently on the weekends, and I'd sit and watch Greek mythology and stories of the Greeks and Romans as told by the Italians and dubbed into English.
For those who might not be familiar with the credentials of the director, he did the original Cat People, the 1942 version of Cat People, and perhaps might be best known for Night of the Demon, as well as a film noir, which is often brought up in some of the top names of film noir, in Out of the Past, I believe, in 1947, correct?
Fine film, absolutely, starring Robert Mitchum and his smoldering best.
Right, exactly. Well, speaking of smoldering, let's get to Mr. Reeves, the waxed chested Mr. Reeves, in his starting out in this film. His opening scene was him perfectly sculpted, holding a javelin, looking like a Greek Adonis that he was.
Absolutely.
Give us a little bit of the very, very thin plot to this film.
Well, as with most of these films, there is some basis either in mythology or in history, and this particular film is a historical film that actually tells the story, very briefly, by the way, of the founding of the marathon race. Steve Reeves plays Philippides, who is a winner of the Olympic Games in Greece, and as Rob has pointed out, very sculpted and, you know, overcomes everybody and does a great job and is crowned with the laurel leaves, and he is an Athenian.
Thank you. I proclaim you, Philippides of Athens, the champion of these Olympic Games. May you thank the gods for having given you the laurel wreath of victory. Four years hence, we shall gather at the eternal flame for the next Olympic Games.
So Greece is under threat at this point from the Persians, who are mounting a unified assault against the Greek city-states, starting with Athens. That's the scene. He comes to Athens, and there's all sorts of court intrigue going on between a fellow who wants the Persians to come in and the true patriots who want to maintain Greece, and ultimately the battle against the Persians unites Greece with its arch enemy Sparta and leads to the founding of the Greek nation. It all sounds very lofty, but the film is far from lofty, believe
it's
me.
It's very pulpy feeling to it. And it's funny because it's it's not, even though it has this grand historical theme to it, it's almost schizophrenic in that it's historical, it's action, it's a battle. It's a battle film. It's a romance. It's a dessert topping. It's a floor wax. It's essentially,
it's pretty much whatever you want it to be.
I'm not afraid of death, Miltiades, and hope we shall never have to fight for liberty. But we live in a democracy, and if there's war, then every citizen will be a soldier. Miltiades! To you, sir, commander of the military forces of our city. And to you, Crucis, our beloved leading citizen and head of the Council of Athens, I ask in the name of all my companions that Philippides be made commander of the Sacred Guard.
When I was young and in this reviewing many decades later, probably 40 years since I saw it the first time, the battle sequences are really the things that draw me. The love stories are supposed to be there just, for the occasional woman in the audience, I suppose. But the battle sequences are exciting, well choreographed, and really where you can see Steve Reeves flex those magnificent muscles and take on the Persians.
Right.
The Athenians have no fleet in any case. But beware, there'd better be no resistance when these men land at Piraeus. What's more, I want you to arrange for the complete surrender of the Athenian army. You know what happens to those who betray me. This idea of yours to attack Athens from the rear is your last chance. Look over there!
Why did you select this one to revisit, do you think?
There's a couple of different reasons. First of all, I am perhaps a little bit older than some of the people who contribute to this site, and my memories of my childhood films are pretty vague. I, of course, went to see the Disney films and musicals in the theaters, but in fact, most of the films that I saw were on television, and this particular one, as I said, I was a sword and sandal junkie when I was young, simply because that's what they showed on TV, and it appealed to me because it had a lot of action. There were three scenes in this film that really stuck out to me, and they were not, in seeing them recently, or actually just yesterday, they were not as I remembered them, but they were pretty close, so I feel pretty good about that. I had remembered a scene where Philippides throws a gigantic rock down on the Persians. And in my mind's eye, I thought it was this enormous boulder. But in fact, he just goes to the top of the hill and sends some enormous boulders sliding down.
Some papier-mâché rocks come tumbling
down. Yes. My vision was that he had one rock and he threw it down. But instead, it was sort of a cascade. And he never picked them up.
So that's it. Philippides loves someone else. And you love him.
I will not see him anymore.
Oliver! That was to remind you that you will see Philippides whether you want to or not. Obey me, Charis. You will obey all my orders, whatever I tell you to do. You have no choice. Understand? Otherwise, I will kill you.
The other scene that struck me was when Karis, who is sort of this courtesan who falls in love with Philippides, runs from burning bodies. This was a scene I had in my head. She's running away from some burning bodies, and she's shot in the back with an arrow. And in my mind's eye, I saw the spread of blood in a perfect circle turning her blue diaphanous gown to purple. Well, I didn't see that either in this movie, but at least not the vision of that purple circle on her back, but she was in fact shot with an arrow in the back. And then the final one, which was pretty close to what I remembered, was the underwater assault of the Athenians against the Persians and arrows being shot into the water and running them through and through, a thrilling sequence. And I guess the action of those scenes stuck with me. The idea that Charis was actually a patriot. And as a young girl, I was looking for female role models, and she kind of fit the bill. And the underwater sequence, in fact, was created and choreographed by Mario Bava. And we all know how great he is in depicting violence and in almost an artistic, almost balletic way at times. And it was just a beautifully realized scene for maybe a film that didn't deserve it. In my, you know, my adolescent brain, I was already picking out quality, I guess. I hope, anyway.
Bava went on to, this was one of the films that kind of gave him his big break, and went on to direct, probably he's considered a founding father of Giallo, which is essentially Italian for yellow, but it's more of a pulpy horror, which kind of gave birth to the most recent maybe slasher films, and they're known predominantly for having their excessive blood, but it's mixed with suspense, sexuality, gratuitous nudity, and some bizarre orchestration too.
Are you Philippides?
Yes, I am.
You are a fortunate man, Philippides. I have an invitation for you from my mistress.
A girl who will dance tonight?
Why, that's right, Philippides. A girl will dance tonight. How did you know?
What's her name?
What difference does that make? She will be no more beautiful if you know her name. It doesn't matter.
All right. Where do I go?
Follow me.
I actually saw this film previously, but only dubbed by a group called the Film Crew. They're an offshoot of Mystery Science Theater 3000. They view these films kind of silhouetted and make critical commentary, most often amusing commentary throughout, and I remember watching it with their commentary, which of course made it all the more kind of bizarre, surreal, and they pointed out all the faults to the film. But that particular scene was one that even while they were mocking this film, because that scene depicted soldiers in large diapers, essentially, swimming underwater.
Yeah.
but it was still, it was wonderfully choreographed. It was violent. You saw blood in the water. You saw people get speared. And mm-hmm. it was quite a thrilling scene, and probably a precursor to a lot of the Gladiator films that are made more recently. It seemed to have a very mm-hmm. modern feel to it. Aside from the diapers.
Yeah, aside from the diapers, which my husband commented on and we laughed a little bit about. But ultimately, when you see them in the water, it makes sense. They're like swimsuits. They're not restrictive to them as they're going and trying to board the ship and put a hole in it. The whole sequence of planting spears in the bedrock under the water to put holes in the ships that were trying to land. It was actually quite ingenious. And I'm actually very fond of well-designed battle scenes. The other one that I can think of that was just wonderful on the water was Master and Commander. The set of what we're going to do and then actually seeing it happen. I have a lot of respect for how difficult that can be.
Do they stay in Athens? Only 100 men. Not enough to make a decisive difference in a war, Theocritus. They have been ordered to defend the temple of Pallas Athena. I do not believe in miracles, but I put faith in the will of the gods and in the justice of our cause.
What good is justice? What good is justice on the battlefield? There is no justice in war.
When you sat down to review this again, now going into it, you knew the filmography of the director, of the uncredited director, and you knew their styles now. So did you find yourself looking for early signs of those artistic qualities that they're now known for in the film?
I would say I was looking for trying to see some of Jacques Tourneur's signature style from the films that I know him for, which are essentially the Val Lewton films, and of course Out of the Past. This was rather late in his career, and to my eye did not show any of his style from his previous films, which you know, I believe certainly the Val Lewton films were so much the producer, and Jacques Tourneur was very young at that time, and he was almost a contract director at that time, like Robert Wise. They were very young, and really the producer set the tone for those. He came into his own later, but this film just did not show me anything. On the other hand, Baba, you can really see the stylized violence, the blood, the artistic choreography of the battle. I really felt that I was seeing a future master in the making in this film.
Bruce's, your daughter doesn't seem to love a future husband. Every time she sees me, she frowns.
No, no. You're wrong, Theocritus. He is wrong, isn't he, Andromeda?
You said it for me.
You already know the use of double meanings, Andromeda. Perhaps your father should not have promised you to me when we were children. You might want to marry someone else.
You young people have strange ideas. In my day, we wouldn't have dared to argue about whom our parents had chosen for us to marry. But with that, I leave you.
As far as the actors go, they've got Italian names. I'm not familiar with any of them in their future endeavors. Steve Reeves, of course, was, you know, known for this kind of film, and it was very much in keeping with his career. So it really was more the director, and I would say Baba was close to an art director in this, even though he's not credited as such. I think I was really interested in revisiting my early love of sword and sandal films.
I only want to tell you I've been thinking about you.
You only saw me once. You don't even know my name.
Does it matter? I think that I love you. Don't you believe me?
It's no use. My future's been decided. You must never see me again.
Listen, I won't give you up if you tell me one thing. Say that you could love me.
The copy that I viewed for this, it's obvious that there was really not a lot of care in redoing it, because it was essentially, like you said, it was one of these several spaghetti type films that were kind of churned out of Italian studios at that time. At some parts where it seemed like they were missing entire scenes, I remember one in particular where Steve Reeves was giving a triumphant, heroic speech talking about how they are, the Spartans and the Athenians are of the same arms, or arms of the same body, and in the middle of this stirring speech, it cuts off and goes right to the next scene.
I remember my encounter with Eurus at the Olympic Games. Eurus is a great fighter, and he can tell you himself that strong arms do not win a fight if the other parts of the body are not working with them. Spartans, our two cities are members of the same body, and if they fight together...
Well, I can't even imagine why that happened, because it was a terrific speech and actually very well written. It had a real poetry to it. I did like that scene in front of the Sparta citizens, and wished it hadn't gotten caught up like that. Nonetheless, I think it still worked. I give films like this a lot of leeway, just like I give first films of directors leeway, because I feel they are trying to do something with low budgets and poor working conditions and that sort of thing.
Speaking of low budgets, in certain scenes, it definitely had that low budget feel. It looked like a lot of the sets were done on back lots and such, but it also had a cast of literally thousands. During the battle scenes, there was no computer-generated duplication of all of these soldiers.
I saw a film recently called The Fall, and I'm looking it up right now.
Tarsem.
Yes, he was available for Q&A afterwards. And he said, well, you know something, we found it cheaper to hire all those people rather than a computer generate them. And he said that was a very inexpensive way for him to create these enormous scenes of crowds. And I have to imagine that in Italy as well, I mean, these were not strictly post-war years, but I'm sure that things were still hard in Italy at that time, that it was probably dirt cheap to get a bunch of extras.
Then in closing, your nostalgic memories of Giant of Marathon were not so clouded. In fact, it seemed like it was quite a very similar experience for you watching it after a distance of several decades then.
Yes, actually it was. I had forgotten a great deal about the story, but those images that stuck in my mind were put in there pretty accurately. I still felt the thrill of watching the Sword and Sandal films. They're great adventure films. If you can be forgiving, and I can be, I'm just a film lover, not a snob, I guess. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but I appreciate all types of films. I try to meet the film where it is, and these films were great entertainments. And Steve Reeves is a very charismatic actor, gorgeous, totally believable as someone everyone falls in love with. So it held up for me. I enjoyed the experience, and I would probably see it again.
Marilyn, thank you very, very much for this contribution, and I hope that we can pick some more parcels from your past to alliterate and be able to look at some films that you can recall fondly or not so fondly and look at them again.
Uh-huh.
So thank you very much.
Well, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Rob. I really enjoyed it.
Well, you have a good evening, and please come back and visit us again on Natsukashi.
I sure will. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
I adore to hear you when you talk that way.